Y'all ready for part two?
Yes.
Now, you ladies, y'all look like a bunch of wild women. So, in fact, can I borrow you? Would you guys come on up front? And I might need you as well. So, I need. Yeah, go ahead. Come on up here. Come on up here. Okay. All right. So y'all just stand up here, face that way. Okay. All right. This is the Fabulous Six. All right. So, I want to give everybody a sign. All right, show your sign. Let's all say it. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Yeah, there you go. All right, so Jesus said, go tell John the things that you hear and the things that you see. These are the works of Christ. And Jesus said, the same works I did, you shall also do. So if we're doing the same works, what's going to happen? The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, keep your signs up. Jesus said, these signs are going to follow you. See, Jesus didn't come to show us what he could do. He came to show us what we can do. Boy, when we get a hold of that, he came to show us what we can do. He said, these signs will follow you. In my name, you shall what? Cast out devils. You shall heal the sick. All right? But we should be seeing things. In fact, I was in a meeting about a month ago in Florida with four churches, and a blind man came in, all right, completely blind, one black patch on an eye, and he had a walking stick, and a guy, you know, guided him up to the front, okay? And I said, what do you need healing? What do you want me to pray for? He goes, I'm blind. I'm completely blind. I haven't been able to see. So I prayed for him, and the power of God hit him, okay? And so he turned around, and he started shouting. He tore off his black patch on one eye. He says, I can see. I can see. I can see. And so people were like, Is this for real? Like, you know, because people are like, and he took his walking stick and he threw it, all right? And he goes, I can see, I can see, I can see. So he started walking around the room, okay? In the meantime, I'm still praying for people, and I'm like, hey, you know, sounds like something God's doing over there. And so he had to convince people, I can see. I was blind, and I can see. And his friend said, yeah, it's my buddy. You know, I brought him today. It's a healing meeting. And this is the truth. Okay, he's been blind for years. And the guy said, yeah, I can see, I can see. And so after like 5-10 minutes, finally people are like, oh, yeah. Oh, well, praise the Lord, you know. Hallelujah, you know. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you know. And people started celebrating and different things. And so 15, 20 minutes go by. I'm still praying for people. And then all of a sudden he disappears. And his friend's like, hey, have you seen the guy? Like, where did he go? Like, maybe he's in the restroom. Okay, checks the restroom. All right, I don't see him. Anybody see him? And so finally, the guy who brought him went out into the parking lot. He's looking around. And he goes to his truck. And the guy who was blind, who's now seeing, was sitting in the driver's seat of the truck, said, you know what? You brought me here. I was blind. But I'm telling you what, I'm driving your truck home tonight. Now that's what I'm talking about. When's the last time you heard that kind of a testimony, right? All right, you came in blind, you couldn't see for years, all right, and you're going to drive your friend's truck home. Oh, dear Lord, you know, let's make sure you you're healed on that one. Everybody say the blind see.
Okay, blind see.
This sign's following you. Lame walk. Leper's cleanse. Incurable, according to mankind. All right. You get Parkinson's, fibromyalgia, or chronic fatigue, whatever you want to call it, okay? Cleansed, healed, set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, what we're about to see is we're about to see these men and women that have been off to war, lost their limbs. That's what we're about to see. Limbs growing out. Minds being restored. Come on. The deaf hear. All right. The dead are raised up. Hello. Jesus said, you go tell John the things that you hear and the things that you see. And he said, these signs will follow those who believe. These are the signs, folks. How many of y'all believe it?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's show you how to get there. Let's give these wonderful ladies a wonderful round of applause. Okay. All right. If you want to keep your sign, you can keep your sign. If you want to give your sign away to somebody else, okay. All right, so let's do this. Brother, I need you. Okay. And that's that, Brother Bob. Can you come over here for a sec? See, I'll show you in visuals, okay? So how do we do this? How do we go from being a brand new Christian to doing the works of Jesus? Okay, so my brother here's, we're just going to say he's a brand new Christian, just got born again. Okay, he's now a brand new species.
Amen.
Amen. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. Okay, but he's brand new at this. Okay, he's just learning the ropes. All right, what it means to be a Christian. Okay, and so Jesus is saying, he said, but just like me, you're going to do the same works. So how do we get from here to there? Two things. All right? Number one is you have to renew your mind. Romans chapter 12 says, don't be conformed to this world's way of thinking. Don't model yourself after the world. See, we're up against a culture of medical, pharmaceutical, sickness, disease, you know, blah, 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 blah. Yes. We're up against that culture, okay? And Paul says, do not think like the world. Do not be conformed to this world system. Come out from the world, all right? So it says, don't be conformed to the world, but be what? Transformed by how? The renewing of your mind. All right, so when my brother gets into the scriptures and he begins, whoa, the same works? These signs? Oh my gosh, you're kidding me. All right, and so he starts renewing his mind, start learning about healing, all right, beginning to learn about authority. There's authority over sickness, authority over all the works of the devil, okay? See, our healing ministry changed when the Lord spoke to me one day and he said this. He said, what would you do if you knew you had all authority over all this, all sickness and disease? How would you live your life? I said, come on. Say that again. He said, Brian, how would you live your life if you knew you had all authority over all sickness and disease? Like when you go into the hospital and visit the sick, and you know you have all authority over that sickness, how would you live your life? I said, keep talking. He said, how would you live your life if you knew it was impossible for you to fail? because I live inside of you and I can't fail.
Amen.
I was like, okay, okay. That's when our ministry changed, because I took on a whole different framework. All right. And see, it's the awareness of what you have. It's the consciousness of who you are. And that's why you have to renew your mind. You know, when God begins to work in your life, all right, where he starts is in your spirit. All right, when your spirit hears the truth, your spirit goes, yeah, 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 because your spirit, what? Bears witness with the truth. Your spirit rejoices, right? All right. Your spirit says, yes, yes, and amen. When someone's preaching a good message, you're like, yes, on the inside. Yes, on the inside. Because that's where healing begins. That's where truth and revelation begins, inside. But see, your mind is the last place to catch up. Because you can hear something on Sunday morning, go, yes, wasn't that great? High five the pastor. Yeah, oh man, it's good. And then by Tuesday morning, you're like, I can't remember what he preached on.
Oh, that's me.
Right? Because your mind now has drifted, all right? And so you have to keep what? Renewing.
Yes.
Renewing your mind. Faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing and hearing, okay? And so we're transformed. Transformation is a three-part process. Number one, it's information. You hear information. Number two, you hear it becomes revelation. And then number three, it becomes transformation. But it starts with renewing your mind. You start seeing yourself the way Jesus sees you and who you are in Christ. See, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? And so it's a matter of renewing our mind, okay? And so what the Lord had me do, he says, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and put yourself in the same frame as Jesus. So you look at all that Jesus did. He went here, he went there. And so now step into that same frame. Because you're a believer. And you have his name, his authority. You can do all things. The anointing. I mean, you have resurrection life, resurrection power living inside of us. Okay?
Amen.
All right. And so number one, it's how do we go from here to there? What is it? Renewing our mind. And see, when you start to meditate on these things, and you know, I remember I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how do I see someone come out of a wheelchair? He said, you see it here first. When you see it here first, then you'll see it out there. So it used to, at first in the beginning of my ministry, it would bother me when I'd see people different diseases or whatever. I'm like, oh, is this like a special case? Do I need it? And then as I begin to meditate on these signs, ladies, these signs, okay, and I saw myself putting in the same frame, all right, and me doing these same things, all right, and it's, of course, it's Christ in us. Then all of a sudden, sickness didn't bother me anymore. You follow me? Like seeing someone in a wheelchair, seeing a handicapped person, seeing this or that. Okay. So when I look at that, I say, this is just a God case. It's a God case. Right? So I'm not moved by, I don't walk by sight. Right? But sometimes the natural will bother people. And it will keep you from really reaching out, stepping out,
yes,
and praying,
yes,
for people. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, but you've got to get beyond that.
Yep.
You've got to get so full of the Word of God, all right, in knowing who you are, what you have, what you can do, okay, that you're not moved by sight. You just know, hey, I carry something greater. I carry Him. I carry His power. Greater is He living in me,
yes,
than he that's in the world. And Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. How many of y'all are getting this? Okay. Yes. All right. And so number one is renewing your mind. And then number two is being filled with the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus never did a single miracle until what? He was baptized. He came out of the river and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Okay. And he was Christed. Okay. He was the Holy Spirit, you know. And so much like us, okay, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay. So we can move with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
All right. Amen. And so as my brother gets his mind more and more renewed and meditating on the Word and all these things that we're talking about, and is filled with the Holy Ghost, okay, then, you know, that's what, you know, Jesus, I mean, that's what it says in Acts chapter 1, where you shall receive power, all right? Dunamis, dynamite. You're gonna get dynamite, all right? You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, okay? And so he's got dynamite living inside of him. He's full of dynamite. Okay. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Amen.
That's it, man. Yeah. 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 He's got the fire of God living inside of him, you know? And so, yeah, there you go. Come on. He's rubbing his hands. Okay. He's like, who can I heal now? Okay. And I remember we were in Ireland for 3 days, and we had the Penn State students. They got so fired up because everyone that we're laying hands on and then interviewing them, okay, do you feel better? 10%. I mean, all of them were healed in over 3 days. Okay, they were so excited. And one of the guys, he kept rubbing his hands, and he says, "Yeah, the kingdom of God is at hand." You know, the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay, and we're like, I don't know if that scripture really means like that, but you know, like, okay, just rub your hands, okay, and kingdom. Everybody, just do it. Come on, put your hands out there. Say this. Say the kingdom of God is at hand. Yeah, the kingdom of God is at hand. All right, and he was just like looking at his hand, like, man, my hand's on fire. I'm praying for people. People are getting healed in the streets. You know, the kingdom of God's on fire. And I'm like, hey, go with that revelation, man. And so that we were walking down the street, and he goes, he says, Pastor Brian, he goes, I see some roadkill. I said, no, we're not going there. Okay, we don't need to go there. Okay, but that's how fired up he was of the power, the anointing. Come on now, the greater one living inside of him. Amen. Amen. Everybody rub your hands. Okay, so the kingdom of God is at hand. In my hands. Now put your hands up. Say, my hands. My hands are Jesus's hands. My body is Jesus's body. My voice is Jesus's voice. And my heart is Jesus's heart. Jesus said, I shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall be healed. My hands are Jesus' hands. Wherever I go, I carry his power. The anointing of God abides in me. I'm a carrier. I'm a conduit. I'm a change agent. So wherever I go, and I lay hands on those that are sick, the power of God living in me is transferred into their bodies, and their bodies are healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give a shout. Thank you, brother. Woo. All right. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Go in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Did you get that picture? Okay. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. I just want to touch on this scripture real quickly. Paul was speaking to the church there, and he said, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us," listen to this, when you heard the word of God, "you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God which effectually works in you who believe." Now, Paul was commending them. Number one is because he said, when you heard the word, you embraced it. You didn't just hear it and walk away. You embraced it. You welcomed it. Okay? And then he goes on to say this, and that word is what effectively working inside of you. So they heard it, they embraced it, and that word was what? Effectively working inside of them. Everybody just put your hand on your spirit. All right, just like you're making a circle here. Just so in other words, when they heard the word, okay, it ministered to them, they welcomed it, it hit right in their spirit, all right, and that word was effectively working in them. See, when it comes to healing, that's the number one thing to do. Allow the word of God to come alive inside of you. So they heard the word, they welcomed it, they embraced it, and that word was effectively working within them. In other words, the word of God was coming alive. Ever had the word of God come alive inside of you? Where you're meditating on it, you're speaking it, you're saying it over and over and over and over and over, right? And it starts coming alive inside of you. It starts becoming a reality in your life, okay? You start getting excited, you start seeing yourself the way the Word of God says, or the way God sees you. You say, yes, that word is coming alive. I'm by his stripes, I'm healed. Glory to God, I'm healed by his stripes. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. See, that's what I did in the hospital. Just at midnight, I would walk the floors. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. By your stripes, I was healed. And by your stripes, I am healed. I am healed. I'm coming out of this hospital alive and well. Everybody else is dying around me, but thank you, Lord. You're my healer. And thank you, Lord. By your stripes, I was healed. And by your stripes, I am healed. And the nurses were going, what are you doing? I'm taking a victory lap. There's victory inside. God's given us the victory. I'm walking out of this place. Yeah, but everybody else is dying on this floor. Well, but I'm not. I'm not. I'm going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. So I'm thanking the Lord for victory. I'm thanking the Lord. He did it 2,000 years ago, and I have it today. Thank you, Lord. I have it. It's mine. I can see myself healed. I can see myself walking out of this hospital, all right? And I can see myself going all around the world preaching the gospel, getting people healed and set free by the power of God. Amen?
Yes.
See, that word of God comes alive inside of you. So when someone says, you know, maybe I just don't have enough faith. First of all, Scripture tells us that God has given to every man the measure of faith. But so the question is never a faith question. And listen to me for a second. Faith is never self-focused. Just think about that. Faith is never self-focused. Or self-absorbed. So when you're trying to go into your past and drum up all these things, faith isn't there. Faith is never self-focused. So if you're focused on, well, I don't know if I have enough faith, faith isn't there, okay? Faith only works from a positive. Faith can't work from a negative. There's a lot I could go into about that. But I wanted to touch on this because a lot of times people will feel like inadequate. People will feel insufficient. And see, that's the language of the enemy. Because the enemy will always try to make you feel unworthy, inadequate, and insufficient. Okay? All right? And so the amount of faith is never the issue. Now, the use of faith is what's important. The use of our faith, okay? But the amount of faith. And so when I hear people say that, I say, okay, first of all, the question we should be asking ourselves is this. Am I giving enough time to the Word of God to allow the Word of God to keep coming alive inside of me. Did you hear that? So it's, am I giving the Word of God enough time to keep coming alive inside of me? Because if you give the Word enough time to keep coming alive inside of you, the Word will do its job. You work the Word and the Word will work for you. Come on now. The Word is medicine. The Word is life. The Word is healing to all of your flesh, okay? He sent His Word and it healed us, okay? So if you'll spend more time allowing that Word to keep coming alive inside of you, then that's your, hey, healing is the result. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so a lot of times when you're ministering to people, they have certain mindsets. They feel unworthy. They feel inadequate. You know, there's different lies that the enemy tries to put on people. God doesn't love you. You know, now you're too old. Can't expect things to, you know, your situation's gone too long. You know, maybe it's too hard, too difficult. Hello. But these types of things start getting into people's thinking, okay? All right? Or shame. You know, feeling bad about something in the past. Okay, these kinds of things creep in. This is how the enemy works. Okay, and so it's our job as ministers to kind of say, whoa, time out. That's not of God. Okay, God's not giving you what spirit of fear. Fear is one of those things that tends to go parallel with just about every sickness. Okay, all right. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Perfect love casts out fear, right? Okay? So we're just kind of touching on some of these things, okay? All right? But when you're dealing with people, sometimes people fall into different mindsets, okay? All right? It gets just because how the enemy works to try to make them feel inadequate, insufficient, okay? And so, one thing I like about Jesus is that, among other things, is that Jesus had the ability to move people in a position to receive. And I believe that as ministers of the gospel with the Holy Ghost, all right, the Holy Spirit will help us position people, move people in a position to receive, all right? And so with healing, you know, there's no formulas, you know. Pastor Donna and I were talking earlier. There's no formulas, okay? Every situation is different. So you might have two people that have the same exact diagnosis, same exact prognosis, but the way that you minister to them can be completely opposite from one another. Okay? And that's just the way it is. That's just the way God is. Now, human nature is like, we like formulas. We like everything, you know, in a box. Okay? And yet, you know, every situation is different. And so, you know, let's face it, Jesus healed sinners. Lots of them. Multitudes of them. Jesus healed sinners. All right? And their sin did not keep them from receiving. So when you go to minister to a sinner, all right, you can't have a formula. You just have Jesus and you have His power. All right? And then there are other times where people were healed and Jesus told them, hey, go and sin no more. And of course, as Christians, as the body of Christ, the number one commandment is to walk in love. The love commandment, you know, and beware of offense and unforgiveness. Okay? So that's where we're the custodian of our own lives, okay? Where we have to keep our heart right, all right? Make sure we're free of offense, all right? Unforgiveness and that sort of thing, okay? That's our duty, our job, all right? Is keep our house clean, all right? But see, you know, so when you minister to people, you just have to be whatever the Holy Spirit tells you. All right? And so you just have to go with whatever he tells you. All right? And so I could spend hours on some of this stuff, but that's why we have the Holy Spirit to help us. He's our helper, okay? And he will lead us and guide us with different situations. So there's no formulas, all right? Just the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, right? Amen. I was watching this story the other day. Andrew Womack. Y'all know who Andrew Womack is. Well, he was telling this story how when Oral Roberts, close to his death, he went to, there's many ministers that went to Oral Roberts because they wanted a special anointing. And so, you know, for healing. And so he was one of them. And so he went to Oral Roberts, and Oral was getting ready to lay his hands on Andrew Womack. And Oral said, you'll never have miracles. And Andrew's like, what? Yeah, you'll never have miracles because you're a pastor. He's like, well, no, I'm not just a pastor. Okay, I also travel. Okay, and Oral Roberts says, okay, so you can have miracles now. Okay, so what I'm getting at is they're obviously different offices, number one, okay. But really, number two is that sometimes familiarity with people can kind of hinder whether you can receive from them fully. Sometimes, like me coming in as an evangelist, you blow in, you blow up, and you blow out, okay? You know, who's this guy from Virginia? Maybe he's got something, you know? It's funny. It's just weird. I don't know. It's, you know what I'm saying? Okay. But see, Jesus, in his own hometown, it says in Mark chapter 6, he could do no mighty work. In fact, let's just turn there. Mark chapter 6. I don't know how we got on this one, but. Of course, Andrew Womack has healings and miracles and all kinds of things. Mark chapter 6. So let's begin in verse number two. It says, and when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Here it is. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? That familiarity. And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house. And then it says, now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Now, I mention this because this is where wrong doctrines get started, is when people don't see results. You know, when there doesn't seem to be any miracles. Yeah, a few healings here and there, okay? But people are like, well, I don't really see too many miracles in our church or whatever else, okay? So it must not be God's will. It must be, you know, so people start coming up with all kinds of wrong thinking, wrong doctrines, okay? All right? And so let's look at what Jesus did in the next verse. It says, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and then what? He went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Teaching is always the answer, because with teaching comes revelation, and revelation brings results. That's what Jesus did. He modeled it. So there was, in his own hometown, couldn't do any mighty work. A few people were healed. So what did he do? He went around the villages teaching in a circuit. He was a circuit rider. All right? And he taught them. He taught them. And with teaching comes revelation. And then with more revelation comes more results. All right? So that's how we're going to get this thing, all right, in the church. We're going to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. We're going to do the works of Jesus. But it comes through teaching, like we're doing today, all right, because you get more revelation.
Yes.
With more revelation, guess what? You get more results. I know for years people have asked me, so when are we going to see this move of God? When are we going to see, like, these miracles break out and all these different things? I said, we're going to see them when the church rises up. When we know in our soul that we have total dominion over sickness and disease, that's when sickness and disease will no longer be an issue. And the one thing that Jesus had is that he had dominion in his soul. He had total dominion in his soul. So even at Lazarus, when Lazarus died and he was impacted, he was, you know, weeping. Okay, it says that Jesus wept, all right? He was touched. He was moved with the feeling of our infirmities. You know, he was a man, okay? So when Lazarus had passed away, he was moved. He was moved by that. But then he moved into a different realm, all right? He got dominion in his soul. And he says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And then he went and he stood at that tomb, okay? He stood at that tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. I wish I could go into that story in the Romans. The Romans actually, they have record of this, of Lazarus. It's in the history books in Rome. It's an amazing story. A guy by the name of Cyrilius, he was a chief historian, worked for the government in Rome. He wrote about how Lazarus was raised from the dead. And, of course, Lazarus, all of his organs were taken out. He was mummied, okay? But Cyrilius showed up because when someone died during that time, they had three taxes they had to pay. They had to pay a death tax, a burial tax, and then like an estate tax to Rome, okay? So Cyrilius came, and he was there to collect the taxes, okay? So he witnessed this event. It's like I said, it's written in Roman history. And so he said that Jesus came out. He said there were 5,000 people in attendance. And Jesus stood there, and Jesus pointed at the tomb, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. He said it took 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours, there was 300 people. Jesus stood his ground, said, Lazarus, come forth. But when people didn't see something immediately, the crowd dissipated, and there's only 300 people left. But see, Jesus had dominion in his soul. When he spoke it, when he said it, it was done. You see, the difference between Jesus and us is that Jesus never said what he saw. Jesus always said what he wanted to see. A lot of times we're seeing the problem. We're speaking the problem. We're speaking the facts or the symptoms, okay? Jesus never did that. Jesus spoke what he desired to see. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. See, what did Jesus say? I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father say. There was that oneness. Okay. See, when we start getting into that oneness, all right, and see, when we start saying only what Jesus tells us to say, guess what? That's when the kingdom of heaven will begin to manifest right there. You say what Jesus tells you to say, guess what? You're going to get Jesus' results. That's what causes the kingdom of God to manifest. Is when we're so one with him, all right, and like Jesus was with the Father, and whatever we say, boom, okay? We're only saying what Jesus tells us to say or Jesus tells us to do. Then the kingdom of heaven manifests in that place. Hallelujah. Well, Robert said this. We're about ready to take a break for lunch. Are you getting some things?
Yes.
Well, Robert said this. He says, I don't lay hands on anybody until I'm ready to release the power of God, release faith into them. So I encourage you, and we're going to do some laying on of hands in our next session, but you know, sometimes we're too quick to just... So if you think about it, be deliberate. If you know you've got something, you've got faith, you've got the power of God, then deliberately wait. And when it's time for you to know that you're going to release that faith, release that power, you say, in the name of Jesus, be healed right now in Jesus' name. Sickness, I command you to leave this body. Go in Jesus' name. In body, I release the life, the power of God right now and in you and in the name of Jesus, body, you be healed. You be healed. You be well right now in Jesus' name. Now, you probably felt something. Yeah. So, we'll give you more practical keys for that. Is that good?
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. See, we need to know what we have, who we are. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody lift up your hands one more time. Say, my hands are Jesus' hands. My body is Jesus' body. Jesus said, I shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. I expect signs to follow me, the blind to see, the lame to walk, the lepers to be cleansed, the deaf to hear, the dead to be raised up, and the poor to have the gospel preached to them. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me your name, your authority, your power, your life. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of y'all get something? Amen. I just need about another week. Well, anyway, we're going to take a little break. Do you have a question?
I have a testimony.
Okay. All right. We'll let you do that testimony. And we'll take a break for, I guess, about 30 minutes or so. And anybody need a bag lunch? See my brother. Where is he?
Brad.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Okay. This is God's work. I'm standing up here holding this sign. And we're talking about all the signs and miracles. And when Brian went down the line and was speaking about each one, when he touched my hand and he spoke about fibromyalgia being healed, I felt the power of God come on me.
Amen.
And come through me. And I claim that healing in Jesus' name. I'm healed today. Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Give it up for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else have a quick testimony? Like when we're in sessions like this, I mean, the power of God can manifest in just while you're sitting in your chair, you know, so you can start to see visible changes. Anybody just real quick? All right. Pastor Donna, would you like to say anything? Okay. All right. Well, y'all are dismissed, and I'll see you back at 20 minutes to 1. Okay?